Good evening, Azeroth, and welcome to episode 91 of the World of Goldcraft. As usual, I am your host, the Lazy Goldmaker of thelazygoldmaker.com, and I'm here to talk about goldmaking in World of Warcraft. As I do every week, I will be going through my week in terms of goldmaking. I'll be talking about what's going on with the game and a discussion point. And this week I'll talk about something I've talked about before, large undercuts, because it keeps cropping up. Of course, this podcast is made available by my patrons that, amongst other things, can get access to my full TSM setup. So if you're interested in that, head on over to patreon.com/thelazygoldmaker. Now let's dive into my week. So currently, of course, we start with BFA. Always start with BFA. And I'm currently sitting at 17.3 million gold in BFA. Which is almost exactly the same as I had last week, or about a week ago. I made 970,000 gold in sales this week, out of which just 735,000 gold was from BOEs, which is surprisingly low. Usually it's like 95-97% of my sales are from BOEs. But this week I actually sold an expensive battle pass. We sold, I think it was a Seaborn Spore. I might remember their name wrong, but it was in the 150k range for a battle pet, so that was pretty nice. I spent 977,000 gold, so I'm sitting at about the same as I did a week ago. I just did two repo sessions because I'm recording this episode a little early, because I'll be going away for the next week. I'll be going away from Tuesday to Sunday, so a little bit of time away from the game, but that's perfectly fine. It does mean that I didn't get the full three settings, but we still almost hit a million gold in sales off of just reposting twice, so I think that's pretty good. So I think that's something I can be fairly happy with overall. So nothing really much to add here. I think things are going well. I did do a little bit of shopping on my material flipping experiment, which I've taken up a little bit. And I may make another one of those on another round to see how that goes. But with the TSM 410 alpha, you can now see your total resale profit inside the game in the add-on. And it definitely looks like the BO or material flipping is still really good. It's just much, much, much slower than it used to be. So that's the annoying part. You'll just have to wait a little bit, and then you'll get there. So, yeah. Now let's turn our attention over to Classic. Currently, I have about 4,100 gold on me, and I have another 5,200-ish on the auction house, which means that I have essentially exactly the same amount of gold as I had last week, but with another 300 gold increase in auction house value. So I did spend a decent amount of gold restocking, and I ended up with a pretty uneven split of herbs. So I'm now sitting on a large stockpile of stuff that I can't turn into finished goods yet. So that's probably why my liquid gold is so flat. Auction house value is still up, and that's nice. I'm essentially ready to go because, as we'll get to in the news, Phase 5 has gotten a release date, 28th of July. I'm ready. I'll probably buy some more stuff because I need to stock up on a lot of stuff that I personally need for Phase 5. So that's going to be interesting. I'm really looking forward to Anki-Raj in particular. It's one of the things I've been looking forward to most with Classic, so I think that's going to be a lot of fun. There's, of course, a lot of stuff coming in terms of gold making. I'm assuming that people will start scrambling to get prepared for Phase 5 now, so all of that's going to be overall pretty fun. Looking forward to it. Now, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the game. Of course, with BFA, there's not a huge amount of stuff going on, but we do keep getting news about Shadowlands, which is exciting. So this week we finally got some confirmation essentially that we're gonna get Shadowlands Darkmoon decks. They all have passive main stats, so agility, intellect, strength, etc. And then alongside that they have an on-use effect. So all of the unused effects have 3-minute cooldown. So it's going to be interesting to see how strong they are or are not. But historically, these trinkets have almost always been really, really good for their slot and very good in early gearing. So I'm expecting them to be as well. We craft them the regular way by crafting a card, and you get one of a random set, one of the four sets. You'll get a random card. This time around, you can also get a wild card. So you have a small chance of getting a blank card that you can use as any other card. So that's going to be helpful in... I'm expecting this will primarily be helpful in targeting whichever deck turns out to be the strongest and thus the most in-demand one. It could help you even out the card number RNG, but I think you're more likely to want to use this to target the strongest deck. And I think this is going to make it a little bit... probably going to make the... it'll be interesting to see how this impacts the market. I'm not going to predict too much. But hopefully they turn out to be good. This is definitely a recipe that I'm going to work on getting early, because if you want to get the Darkmoon decks, you want to get them as early as possible. So yeah. Next up, Classic. Well, Classic. What's going on with Classic? Well, Phase 5 is coming. July 28th. It's been confirmed, so get your desert boots on. We're going to Silithus. If you have any last-minute preparation you want to do for yourself, now is the time. Speculators as well. Probably by now it's a little too late to really invest for Phase 5 with the date being released. Some items will probably peak the week before or around when the content drops essentially. Especially stuff that you'll only need one of, so stuff like Nature Resistance gear, that's going to peak the week before the gates open, I'm assuming. So be ready to, don't be afraid to sell early if you can sell for a profit. It's better to realize 30-40% than lose gold, and if you could have made more, who cares, you still made gold. That's what matters. So yeah, there's a ton of recipes, there's a new raid, there's a ton of quests, there are quest lines, there's so much going on. Obviously I can't cover all of it, but there's a ton of gold making opportunities in Phase 5, so definitely get ready to go for it. Yeah, it's gonna be fun. Next up we have questions from patrons, but we didn't get any this week. Which means that we will just go straight on into our discussion point. And this week I'm going to be talking about the fact that large undercuts are a legitimate strategy. Because just this week someone posted a screenshot on my Discord server where someone had reset or undercut the flask prices. There were some flasks at 500 gold, and then someone had posted a bunch at 400 gold, and that's what the price was currently. And they were very annoyed by this. And this happens all the time. People always get angry at large undercuts. And in many cases, they're right to be angry. In many cases, it's just a bad idea to do large undercuts. But in a lot of other cases, they make a ton of sense, both in terms of like pure economic theory, but also in terms of the practicality of gold making. What is theoretically optimal might not be what is best for you. And while it's theoretically optimal to just try to fight for the sale at the current price, there are other approaches to the auction house that can work. And all of this is based on the fact that price matters. And what do I mean by price matters? I mean that the price is going to impact how many items you sell and how many players end up buying the item. I think this is fairly obvious. Or at least the principle is fairly obvious, and if you just go through a random example, it's going to be very obvious. Like, for instance, flasks in Classic are really hard to get by, Black Lotus is hard to farm, and very limited in supply. If someone sold a flask for 50 gold, everyone would buy one. Or so many people who aren't buying flasks right now would buy them. So then once you've proven like the general principle that the price can have a large effect on how many people are willing to buy an item, of course there are going to be breakpoints and there are going to be differences that don't matter as much. But the same principle applies. Like, everything else being equal, a lower price will increase the number of items that are sold that day. And that's something that you can play around if you want to. There's a fact here, because the main complaint I see when people talk about large undercuts and get angry is that they have hit the sweet spot for them. They're going to say like, okay, I can sell the amount of items that I want to sell at this price level. So why are you driving it down? It doesn't matter. I get sales. Well, you're getting sales. That doesn't mean that the guy who's undercutting you is getting sales. Maybe you're getting sales because you're doing cancel scans or relisting more often or relisting at a better time than him. Because maybe he can't play during the times when flasks really sell well. All of that means that what was optimal for you might not be optimal for him in terms of keeping the price high. So he might be better off driving the price down a little bit so that more items will sell and he can be one of those items extra that sell rather than trying to fight for the same amount of sales at the current price level. The fact is that getting 20% profit on an actual sale versus 50% potential profit margin, but you never actually sell an item, that's pretty much a no-brainer, right? Gold in the hand is worth infinite potential profit. You need to get the sale, and if you can't get the sale at the current price, then why are you posting at that price? Then you need to do something. Either exit the market or try to see what happens if you drive the price down a little bit. Now, when does it make sense to do undercuts? It makes sense if you can't sell enough items. Like, if you can easily craft way more than you can sell and you know that it's a useful item. Not cosmetics, of course. You're not going to do large undercuts and craft 100 craft dreadful gladiator stuff from Mr. Pandaria, for instance. But for flasks or other consumables, if your items don't sell, if you never get the sale and the profit margin is very high, then that's a good sign that you should do some larger undercuts. The last time I did this was with the Uncanny Offhand when I did the last 30 days to a token challenge that I wrote about on my blog, not the one I did for patrons. Because when I had finished leveling Inscription, these offhands were posting for about 3 times crafting cost. And I tried posting them for that, and I just couldn't get a single sale, not one sale. So what did I do? Well, I added I think it was either 5% crafting or 10% crafting to the undercut to that operation for that group in TSM, which meant that I would just slowly drive down the price. And I had to bring it down to about 1.5 times crafting before I really started getting sales. So this is obviously another case where price will matter. Like, people might not be willing to pay a huge amount of gold for an item level 400 upgrade on their freshly dinged level 120. But if it's quite cheap, then it'll be worth the money compared to farming gear from other sources. You can always farm gear, of course. But getting some quick item level from the auction house is always going to be faster if you have the gold. So that was one case where it made a lot of sense. Another case where it will make a lot of sense to do large undercuts if you know that supply will increase heavily or demand will fall off heavily. So you need to just get rid of an item before it's essentially too late. So one example of this was when the power increasing glyphs were being removed. This was in the, I think it was in the Legion pre-patch, they removed the power increasing glyphs from the game. I started dumping prices heavily because I had a huge amount of glyphs that I wanted to get rid of. I even got an angry mail from one of my competitors who was like, I can still get sales. Why are you driving down the price? And I was like, I wasn't getting enough sales. I have a huge stockpile and I need to get rid of it. So his optimal option was not the optimal one for me. I didn't want to babysit the glyph market just to extract a few extra gold when I could still unload everything I had at about 50 to 100% profit margin. So I started dumping early and I got rid of most of them. Another example was the experience gems, the insightful rubelines, on BFA release. Because I did some prospecting on the first day, or the first night even, and I realized quickly that you ended up with huge amounts of rubelines. So many. And people were posting these very expensively. I think the price was about 5,000 gold per, and that was obviously going to crater completely because I had already had like 100 in my bags by that time. So I started undercutting. I posted like 10 at a time for about 1,000 or 2,000 gold. I don't remember exactly what I started with. And I think some other goblin or some wannabe goldmaker bought me out, which was just incredibly stupid. So I just kept posting, and then I posted a... Before I went to bed, I posted all of the ones I had in my bags for 500 gold each. Just trying to get... because I knew that in one day, in 2 days, they would be selling for 5-10 gold at that level, because they were just so numerous. You would get so many of them from prospecting compared to the other stuff. So I unloaded. I got quite a few sales for still 500 gold, which is still a really good price. And the price ended up cratering completely. So that was well worth it to me. I got more gold than I would have gotten trying to post at a higher price and maybe getting one gem sale. Definitely, that was also something where, with a cheaper price, I'm guessing a lot more people bought those gems. There's also generally the case now that you wanna undercut if you end up if your stockpile is getting large for some item. If you end up with a lot of items in your bags, start doing larger undercuts, and you should see the sale rate increase, and you should be getting rid of it essentially and getting some gold for it. Now, when does it not make sense to undercut? Obviously, you're not going to undercut below your crafting cost or acquisition cost, because then you're losing gold, and we don't want to do that. Next up is if you sell faster than you can craft something. At that point, you probably want to increase your prices, because you may be leaving gold on the table, because at that point, the limiting factor is your crafting. So you want to focus on getting the highest profit margin you can for the items that you can craft in that time span. So that's an example for me personally. That's with Goblin Zapper charges in Classic that I can sell literally as fast as I'm able to craft them, because they're quite time consuming to craft. So for those, I should probably increase my minimum profit margin to slow down my sale rate so that I get fewer sales, but more profitable ones. Because usually they just sell out the moment I post them. Generally speaking, your goal should be to sell items as fast as you can restock them, or as fast as you want to restock them, which is going to vary with your playtime, your auction house, your realm, how you want to play the game, when you post, all of the good jazz that's very hard to pinpoint. And that's also one of the reasons why most of my TSM settings don't include a crafting operation. If you sell out too quickly, try to push your prices up. If you don't sell fast enough and you just keep accumulating materials and items, then you want to drive your prices down. And that's about it. Just make sure that you're always selling for more than you purchased either the item or the materials for. Or at least enough that you have get a reasonable profit margin. I tend to aim for 20%, and that's been working really well for me. And then you can add larger undercuts to your arsenal as well and be on the giving end. Now I didn't even touch on like the pure auction house PvP reasons you might want to do this. But that's of course also a case that you may want to do this, not because it's optimal, but because you can use it to drive people out of the market. If you have enough stock that you can keep the profit margin at zero for a long while, then you can probably get some competition to quit, and then you'll be alone and you can make gold. But that's more advanced, and that's not going to be relevant for most of you. So I would just focus on using it to sort of balance the amount of items you can sell, And that's about it. So yeah, guys, that's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did and you want to read more about gold making, you can do so at thelazygoldmaker.com. If you want to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/thelazygoldmaker. And with a final massive thank you to my patrons, I wish you all a very profitable week. Good bye, guys.